You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
November 10th, 2016, we're happy to report the world is not over. This is the Roto Experts in the Morning. I am Greg Sussman, joined as always by the King, Scott Engel, by the Fantasy Executive, Corey Parson, and of course, Tony Sincana along for the ride as well. The next 3 hours, we will take a look at Thursday Night Football. We will take a look some Survivor for this week. Get Scott Engel's Survivor Power Rankings. We'll have the guys make some concession speeches, as we heard way too late yesterday. I will talk a little NBA as well. But I want to start, actually, kind of right there, in the NBA, Tony and guys, because we'll talk more about what happened last night in the games. But for the first time, Tony, and I'll start with you, the late swap almost killed me last night, or the inability too late swap almost killed me last night.
Yeah.
Now admittedly, I play on FanDuel. I don't have the late swap option. Or never had the late swap option. But once around lineups lock 7 o'clock and a little bit after 7, I read that, hey, Rick Carlisle is going to rest his players. He's going to watch their minutes. And then, long after that, long before the game starts, J.J. Barea is out for this game and yet in my lineup. Now I wound up cashing, but when I saw that, I was extremely angry.
Yeah, that's the problem there. But if you played at FanDuel, you had that situation all the time.
Yep.
I don't know. I mean, we were trying to talk about this morning on what you could do. I actually played at a site where you actually picked an extra player. He had to be under $5,000, and if a player did miss, that guy would go in there. Or, actually, that guy would actually play, basically, so that you would drop the lowest score of whoever had there each and every night. And I hate getting those scenarios, but these got to leave a bad taste in your mouth. And I don't care what people fill out in the survey and what they fill out. If you get a zero from a guy, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth. And as a customer, it's a bad feeling.
Yeah, so I agreed with the no late swap. As I told you, I don't want to look. You know, I went to bed very early last night, catching up with some sleep. Now we've got Thursday Night Football tonight. I went to bed early, and I was furious to see the guy get the zero, and I got very lucky. So the first thing I did was like, look, did I cash? Oh, nice, I cashed last night.
Yeah, how good was the rest of your lineup if you were missing him and you cashed?
So I think, in all honesty, Scott, I think it's a great question. My lineup put up really, I guess it was really good. I put up 290 with a zero, and that's not a bad night.
Solid.
But I was livid to see that this guy had zero. Not, and again, coming in first or 50th in my my cashing means nothing, right? Like, so it's not like I could have won more money if I came in first. But I was just very, very disappointed to see that zero and not having. I was hamstrung.
How angry can you really get though? Because yeah, you want to cash, but you also know the lay of the land. You already know that the late swap is not going to be there. So that's one of the inherent evils of playing on that site.
It
if
is.
You, if you will.
That's as ridiculous as saying, I love paying taxes. Everybody else has to, so I get excited about it. You're always angry when it happens to you. And everything's about you. So I think that
I'm just playing devil's advocate
you know
there,
before.
Though.
No, I know. No, what I'm saying is that you still get pissed off when it happens to you.
Yeah.
Even though you're right, it's the same thing, and you know going in this could happen. But when it happens to you, you get pissed off about it.
Yeah, I think it's natural emotion.
I agree.
But then I think, like Tony, I was just kind of talking, you kind of rein in, you say, okay, on that site, it's just kind of the rules. But I understand that, too, because a lot of seasonal leagues, sometimes the rules will piss me off, but then in the end, after you sit down and have that emotional rush, which Tony's talking about, you realize, well, that's the lay of the land.
And thankfully, you know, I'm not as angry this morning because I won, right? Like, what was
also
I
cashed all
I cashed. It doesn't matter.
But you probably think you could have cashed more.
No, I couldn't cash 50, more because no matter what, anyway. If I finished in first or 50th, I make the same amount of money. So that didn't matter in the grand scheme of things for me. But if I would have lost by a couple of, I would have lost by a couple of points, I would have been livid. I would have woke up this morning livid, and there's nothing I could do, Corey.
But like Scott said, it's part of the game. It's the lay of the land right now, put in place to make things even between the fantasy player and
absolutely.
The fantasy shark.
And to be fair, I can't even be I can't promise you that if I could make a late stop, I would have done it. I went to bed early last.
Yeah, about to say. You know? Yeah, and that's the reason that the limitation is put in place.
Absolutely.
This is my water right here, right?
That's your water.
It's nice and cold.
Enjoy that water. Why you head on over to rotoexperts.com tonight? We got a live chat with George Kurtz tonight at rotoexperts.com. And you can do that and check out the chat, participate in the chat by going to rotoexperts.com. We have a fantasy football playoff push right now. You want to make your playoffs? RotoExperts.com. George Kurtz is the way to do it. Free radio. You get some money off.
And also, my lineup rankings are posted, and Daniel Dobish is stardom and sit him. 5-time FSWA award winner, Daniel Dobish.
I want to ask about those lineup rankings because I got some questions this week. You know how we do, Greg. Every now and then, I understand it's about the listening audience tone.
No.
But every now and then, I like to throw my lineup things out there
because
I do the same thing.
So Tony
has never steered me in the wrong direction in all my years of knowing him. As far as making a lineup decision, I'll be honest with you, Tone. Last week, Sterling Shepard was a great call.
You know what's crazy is that you spend the football is crazy because you spend a whole week on these games, right? Mm-hmm. So you're pretty confident, I think, that more than any other sport on a weekly basis about your picks. Like basketball, like today, Stephen Curry's a great matchup. The guy left an ankle injury last night. He came back in a game. They're playing back-to-back games, and they're playing the Denver Nuggets, who suck. And I'm like, you know what? I don't know if I'd put Stephen Curry, and he's the best player on it. Like, you don't deal with that in football. Yep. You just put the guys in the lineup when they're going to play. And we talked about this with LeSean McCoy last week, right? If a guy's going to play, you just throw him out there. In the basketball, these guys, it's so crazy and contentious, everything that goes into every pick.
Yeah, Curry last night had 24 points, had to have his ankle retaped, and was able to finish the game. But like Tony talks about, baseball has 162 games, and you don't even see this. I don't play hockey enough to know, but doing the news reads, I'm not hearing about guys, you know, like missing games on. I don't know how often in the NHL they play back to back, but like Tony says, you know, no other sport, fantasy sport, I know of where this occurs.
Steph Curry injured last night, huh?
Well, he banged up.
They're going to rest him. They said,
he had to retape
the ankle. He, like you said,
I don't think he's
going
to be a Warrior after these next seasons until his contract expires.
That's next year, I believe.
I think he is. Going off that team. I think that's Kevin Durant's team.
I guess I can ask Tony a question. Would you cut Brandon Marshall in a 10-team league for Rishard Matthews?
No. You would?
I've considered it.
You would cut Brandon Marshall?
For Rishard Matthews. 10-team league.
Brandon Marshall?
No consistency to Rishard Matthews' game.
It has been recently.
You got 13 years of a consistent Brandon Marshall.
I know, but it's starting to look like 13 years. And Ryan Fitzpatrick, and the bad situation, no compliments. Could be Bryce Petty.
You're overanalyzing this, Scott. You're overanalyzing. The things you warn the listeners about, overanalysis, I think you're suffering from overanalysis right now.
Maybe because I'm 4-5 in this league, and I really feel like I need to win this week.
Well, every week is important as the last week this time of year. That's why you listen to the Roto Experts in the morning. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's why I asked you guys what you think too.
No, I'm not on board with it, Greg.
Yeah.
You can't get with it.
But I talked about this yesterday though, and it's like at some point you stop looking at the name and just look at the numbers.
So give us the numbers then for both these guys.
I'm going to pull it up for Brandon Marshall. It's like he hasn't scored more than 10 points in his last four games.
Yeah, but you look at those last four games of Rishard Matthews, he may have had two double-digit games, but he quite possibly had two single-digit games. Rishard Matthews can give you a donut. Brandon Marshall's never going to give you a donut.
Yeah, he's not giving me enough, though. So.
Oh. It's a personal problem.
Fantasy-wise.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not like you and your roommate, Cole.
All right, so no one gets that joke.
All right, sorry, Greg.
Stay on track.
No, I just doesn't. You know, I don't get that one gets the joke. Moving on.
I think he gets it.
No, he may get it if nobody else does.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
I think people have followed Corey.
They've heard it for 6 years.
Yes. That's a good point.
They've heard the same joke for 6 years.
Hey, Tone, it's not a secret, huh, Tone? Yeah.
Yes, you're not allowed to repeat yourself.
No, 6 years. Is the same damn joke.
Yeah. Oh, you can only say this contest like 500 times, but you can't repeat yourself.
Oh, you're taking a shot at Tony Sincotta?
Right. Yeah.
Huh? Oh, you taking a shot at Tony St. Cotter?
Yeah, he's a king.
He's a comedian. We love each other. We can do this.
Silence.
Tony didn't say I love you back.
All right. So, you know, it's a one-way relationship.
You know, we
will be the first time.
Yeah, I don't.
We talk. That's interesting. We talk about ourselves a lot, guys. And I think our own decisions and our own leagues, to me, and I know some of our expert leagues, some of our just leagues with our buddies, are a good indication of what is going on in other people's leagues in the rest of the world. So I always like to go over our bids, and I was out for most of the morning yesterday. I came in a little bit late due to the night before. But I wanted to go over some bids with you guys. Yeah. In my league, have you guess and see how they compare to your leagues, because now that it's Thursday morning, all our waivers have obviously gone through.
Yeah, this
all
is cool.
So let me start off with Chris Ivory, guys, who was out there, new offensive coordinator Nathaniel Hackett. How would this change things? So, Corey Parson, how much do you think Chris Ivory went for in this league?
How much is your
$100 cap?
$100 cap?
Yes, sir.
This time of the season, Chris Ivory probably went for $27.
$27. Scotty Angle.
I'm going to say $38.
All right, Tony Zagata.
$22.
$26. Nice job, Corey. I mean, Tony obviously wins because Price is Right rules, but it was still a nice job by you.
No, I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
I didn't have him available to me in none of my leagues. It would have been interesting to see what he went for. The league I'm looking at now, you might ask about the player. Go ahead.
No, please.
I went for, the guy who went the highest last night, and I think this might have been the craziest bid in this league. This is a very tough league.
Sure.
By far the hardest draft I've ever been in. Paul Perkins went for $360.
Really?
$1,000.
Out of a $1,000 cap. And I'm thinking to myself, is it something that I missed?
Yeah.
This is a team that passes the football up and down the field. They have no consistency in the running game. Paul Perkins can't block to save his life. And somebody's going to drop $360 on him? I mean, are you just trying to get rid of the fab money?
I'm rostering him, but I think that's a lot to spend. Because it's a deep league, and I know he can't pass block, but out of the Giants runners, he's the only one that adds some spark to the running game.
We don't know nothing about him. We haven't seen him.
You got to give him a shot. I mean, look what else is there.
It's too late in the season to be taking a gamble on a player that you want
to. They have to establish some balance in the running game.
No, they don't.
And this team expects to compete in the NFC playoffs.
No, they don't.
They have to.
No, they don't.
Yes,
their best weapons are in the passing game.
Yeah, but you have to make the opponent respect the running game to some degree, especially in the playoffs.
Let me continue on.
Sorry.
No. What are you upset about?
No, because I'm the new kid on the block, so I'm used to getting in trouble for talking too much, so I don't want no foolishness. Chris.
Hey, there's nothing to be sorry for.
Dude, that's a bygone era.
Okay,
who cares?
Cool.
Okay. So the other interesting
one—that's
one,
a big word.
It was a big word.
Chacha has his dictionary out.
Okay.
Cardano's going, what did he say?
All right, we'll just keep meeting other people that aren't on this show. You had Zach Ertz. He had a good week last week. They wanted to get him more involved. They did get him more involved. We're always looking for tight ends.
Yeah.
So, Scott, I want to start with you. How much do you think Zach Ertz went for?
I'll say Zach Ertz went for $11.
Corey?
I like that's a nice bid right there. I would go $13.
Tony?
$12.
$6.
Wow. I think that owner came across pretty good.
Well, thank you. That's me.
Nice job, Greg.
Thank
to get
you.
A tight end of Zach Ertz Elk this deep into the season.
Yeah.
Got a nice matchup coming up this week against the Atlanta Falcons who leak in the secondary. I don't know. I just Carson Wentz and his options in the passing game have been disappointing. You're starting to see him, I don't want to say hit the rookie wall, but you're starting to see him play like a rookie quarterback. His head coach is coaching like a rookie coach, but I do think a $6 Zach Ertz, I don't really think it's probably was a better bid in your waiver group last night.
There wasn't. It's interesting because so I don't need Zach Ertz on this team in all honesty.
Can you flex him?
So I can.
Yep.
I have Rob Gronkowski.
Sounds like
Cardano in our other league. Yeah, it's my third tight end. I have Rob seriously, it is. I have Rob Gronkowski, and I have Kyle Rudolph. I think it was Zach Ertz, I thought it was the best talent on the waiver wire this week. So, you know what? Let me go out and get the guy that I think
this is a bad bid. This is a bad bid.
Why?
Why is that?
There's no other way around it.
Why is it a bad bid?
Because it's his third tight end, and he's spending $6 that he could use somewhere in a position he needs someone over the next 3 weeks.
But my point.
I think it's a terrible bid on a guy that –
He's the best guy out there.
Who did he cut to?
I cut
it doesn't matter
Smith.
Whether it's a.
No, I want context.
It doesn't matter.
What Tony's point is. Who did you cut?
Anton Smith.
And who are the other tight ends you have?
I have Kyle Rudolph and Gronk. But I have
so why didn't you just cut Rudolph and pick up Fedorowicz? I did that in one league.
Well, Fedorowicz wasn't available. You're staring at me. Why?
This is the radio, fella. Somebody got to say
going
something.
On? Why would I cut
Okay, go ahead.
Fedorowicz. I don't know. Anyway, so I kept Rudolph because I just thought Zach Ertz was the best player on the table. Now, Tony.
I meant why didn't you cut You got Ertz.
Yes.
Why didn't you cut Rudolph and just pick up Ertz?
Because I would cut Antoine Smith because he's on the IR and he sucks.
Yeah, but why carry three tight ends? Like
well, I'm just carrying talent. Why doesn't the position matter?
I agree with Greg on that. I have teams. Two teams where I carry three tight ends.
What does the position matter?
You can flex a tight end. Matter of fact, it's dual flexes in the league. You can flex a tight end. Yeah, those PPR points
from
tight ends.
Corey.
What's up, Tone?
Corey, the roster construction, you can't put three tight ends on the roster.
Yes, you can.
You are better off taking a spot. Greg, are you going to listen or are you going to keep throwing crazy stuff out there? You can't roster three tight ends. What you do in that situation is you either save the $6 until you need it or you take a shot on a running back situation that you could fall into something. You knock Zach Ertz, even if he comes through, even if he's the best player available this week, we're talking about a guy that's put up 4 or 5 points a week. You go and you take a look at a Tampa situation like Antoine Smith and you go and you take a look and take a shot on a Mike James for $1 is a better play than going for Zach Ertz. He's not the better player, but you can fall into something. We do it all the time, Corey, in draft season, and we take shots on guys, and we land there, and you try to make a run going into the playoffs there on a guy that's not out there and a guy that's not there, and you get $1 there. It's way better than a third tight end.
Do you think the fact that I'm doing this in leagues that have 20 roster spots make a difference, or you still think that carrying three tight ends is too much?
If you get that deep and you're playing in 20 roster spots, I could see a point, but I still, again, would try to attack the running back position. I would try to attack the wide receiver position, and I wouldn't spend $6 just because he's the best guy available that week if I don't need him. I mean, those other guys that he's mentioned, you know what? It comes down to it each and every week that this week Zach Ertz is a good play, and I think you can use him. Carson Wentz is never going to throw the ball 27 times in a game. Last week he did 47 because they were behind. This week he could throw the ball a ton, but they don't want him to throw the ball. It's a bad offense to attack. I think it's a bad play.
All right. So let me tell you.
I'm somewhere in the middle there.
Yeah, how come you're in the middle, Scotty?
Yeah, because I think the defense is starting to show signs of falling apart there. And they're playing that cover three shell, and the best way to attack is with the tight end. So I like Ertz, but I fall in the middle saying sort of I would have cut Rudolph and would have said, okay, I'm going to cut Antoine Smith. What's the best flyer at another position I could take, running back and wide receiver?
So the reason I brought Zach Ertz up, guys, is because I had an offer on the table, or have an offer on the table, for a guy that needs a tight end this week. He has Eric Ebron. Eric Ebron's on a bye, so he doesn't have a tight end right now. So he's like, I will give you Alfred Blue for Zach Ertz. Now, I think Alfred Blue sucks, but Tony, that kind of goes to falling into your running back situation.
Yeah, yeah.
So is that an offer you would just take?
I would shop around and try to grab someone else because he doesn't entice me, but...
Like Alfred Morris, does that entice you?
I can understand doing that. Yeah, that definitely does.
Okay, so you would
look at last week, you look at the carries that Alfred Morris is funny because last week we had, and next week, week 11, we have 6 teams on bye.
Right.
And there was a situation at running backs that were playing guys like Fozzie Whitaker. I'm saying Alfred Morris is a guy you could actually pick up, and he can get 10 carries in a game, even if Ezekiel Elliott plays. So I would go ahead and use him in that situation.
Well, to be fair, he's only had one game where he had more than 10 carries. 10 or more carries, rather. That was last week against Cleveland. So I don't know if we can expect that.
Well,
but
here's the thing with Alfred Morris. This is speculation. This is just the way the NFL has played, knock on wood.
You think he's getting hurt this week? You've said that.
The Pittsburgh Steelers are a very dirty football team. They hit after the play. They hit on top of the pile. They take shots. They like to play roughhouse. You got a situation, terrible towels rolling. You got a team that with their back against the wall at home against America's team, the Dallas Cowboys. I know how that team plays. Now, Zeke is a tough kid, and he's ready for the battle. He really doesn't care about that. But I'm just saying, this is a week that I would make I think Alfred Morris should be owned in every 12-team league this week. I mean, moving forward. Even if he's not, it would be foolish. But this week in particular, because of the brand of football the Pittsburgh Steelers play, it's got their dirty football team.
Well, is, how are you going to go away from Ezekiel Elliott, though, in a big game?
No,
like
you
this?
Can't go away from him.
No,
I'm just, saying, you never know. You've seen with the Pittsburgh Steelers. Well, not the you've seen with the Cincinnati Bengals, who play that AFC North brand of football.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They've ended Le'Veon Bell's season 2 years in a row.
Well, I think, with all respect, you're coming at this from a Dallas Cowboys fan angle.
Okay.
I will agree with you in the fact that at this time of year, I want to have the top handcuff to my top running back if I can do it.
I'm just looking at the intangibles, Scotty.
Yeah, you sound like you're already ready to talk trash to Steelers fans. You guys are dirty, et cetera.
It's the truth. They are a dirty football
yeah,
team.
You sound like you're getting
Mike
ready
Tomlin,
to trash
Mike Tomlin has been called up to Roger Goodell's office on the phone with Roger Goodell several times about the brand of football
the Pittsburgh
Steelers play.
This sounds like Dallas Cowboys fan trash talk because
right, well,
you hate the Steelers. I'm going to separate
I don't hate the Steelers.
It.
You hate the Steelers, not me.
You sound like you're getting ready to hate the Steelers.
I don't. I
Dallas
the
Cowboy
Steelers
fans
are irrelevant.
Have long been known. At, see, what you say right there, Dallas Cowboy fans have long been known to have disdain for Pittsburgh. And I hear it in what you just said.
Right.
I will agree with you in what you just said in terms of if I have Elliott, I want to have Morris if I can.
I put in a $131 bid on a Pittsburgh Steeler last night that I just happened to see on my waiver wire, and that was Eli Rogers. I had 230 cap left, 230 remaining. I put in 131 as the bid for Eli Rogers. He went for 230. I don't think I could have shot my load for Eli Rogers. My wide receiver situation is decent, but I got players on him. I got Golden Tate and some other guys, Robert Woods, on a bye this week. So I was going to need that extra wide receiver. I lost out on Eli Rogers. Tone, you think I should have pushed it to the max to get Rogers for this week?
For this week, you know what's so crazy? The fab bidding, there's no science to it. We talk about every league. You never know what you're going to get to. So I wouldn't have gone all in mm-hmm. on him. I wouldn't have thrown it in there. I think he did a fine bid. And it is crazy because you never know in fab bidding how much to go in on a player. Every league's different. I talk about it last week. I wanted Tim Hightower really bad, and I put $44 out of, I think I had 70 remaining. And I would have won with 22.
And that's the thing. The guy who went top in this league, Brandon LaFell, went for $331. You know what the next highest bid was?
Six.
Zero.
Really?
Somebody just
I can't believe he's on every waiver wire.
He should be. You're right.
He's on every waiver wire. Brandon LaFell.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Like, when you think about that passing game and the touchdowns there, if you play in any league with over 10 teams, he's a guy that's at least rosterable, and you put him on matchups. And he's in. We had a 14-team league, Scott, the league we play in. He was available on the waiver wire.
Yeah. And it's interesting, too, to Corey's point about how he has to bid, even though there's four teams on bye and there was six last week, I feel like it's a more challenging bye week, although I haven't like statistically written, because I feel like more key players are on
yes,
the bye this
it's
week.
It's definitely more key
yeah,
players on the bye.
Yeah.
So we look at the quarterback situation. Tyrod Taylor's on a bye. Matthew Stafford's on a bye.
Andrew Luck's on a bye.
And then the who's the last guy that's on a bye this week? Another big-name quarterback is on a bye this week. So quarterbacks are key this week, Greg, and I know we need to get ready to go to break, and I want to ask the fellas what they think about Joe Flacco tonight, because I think Joe Flacco could be in play tonight.
Yeah, we're going to talk when we come back about some of these guys you can fill in for. Like, Joe Flacco is a name that has come up. Trevor Siemian's a name that has come up. We talked to Alex Smith earlier in the week. He's a name that has come up.
Not me or Corey.
Okay, well, I'm just saying. Those are the type of guys we're talking about, and we'll do it next. You're the Roto Experts in the Morning. Back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Tony Zuccotto, Scotty E, and Corey Parson. Corey,
yo,
you mentioned during the break there's one more guy in your waiver wire you need to mention.
Yeah, this is another one, a different league right here. This league, I have big time situations where I may have to go double tight end. Is due to the bye weeks and due to injuries. This is another one of my Sammy Watkins teams.
Yep.
So you know you're going to hear me complain about that for the rest of the year.
And all
through the offseason. Michael Floyd was on the waiver wire. I know Michael Floyd has been a disappointment, but if you can get Michael Floyd for a one-week pick and pop, I was like, why not add him to my stable of wide receivers? In this league, I believe I had $165 left. I put in a 103 bid for Michael Floyd. He went for 111.
Good. You don't want Michael Floyd. I'm just being honest with you, man. You don't want to do this to yourself. I've done it. It's not fun.
I did end up getting Vernon Davis for $55, Tone. I know Vernon. I know Jordan Reed is healthy and back in action. But this is going to be a week where I have to if I'm getting ready to set my starting lineup now, I think this is a week where I got to go dual tight end. Like I said, there's two flexes in this league right now. The lineup is Blake Bortles, Devontae Booker, Spencer Ware, Brandon LaFell, Doug Baldwin, Mike Evans. Then Sterling Shepard is one flex, and then on the bench I have Bilal Powell, Jermaine Kearse, who I'm not playing, Hunter Henry, and Vernon Davis, who just got added last night.
Hunter Henry, you know, he's gotten healthy.
Hunter Henry or Vernon Davis?
Knowing that they're going against Minnesota, I don't know there's going to be too much opportunity for secondary guys in that offense. How do you guys feel about if you got to dig super deep, and these guys are available in both leagues, and opportunity doesn't always lead to production, neither does matchup. Jeremy Macklin's looking doubtful. Chris Conley and Albert Wilson are available in a lot of leagues against that Carolina pass defense.
But isn't Tyreek Hill the guy you would want to own?
I
think Chris Conley's the guy you own if you want 10 fantasy points. Like,
right.
He's going to be a guy that's going to get more targets. Tyreek Hill's going to be a guy you hope that catches a 30-yard pass for a touchdown.
Boom or bust and not much of a boom offense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could see both guys being rosterable there, depending on where you are in the matchup. Like, I like Tyreek Hill. I have him on my roster. But Conley's not a bad play.
Yeah, I'd rather use Conley than Davis, to be honest with you.
Okay.
It's not bad. It's not terrible.
But Alex Smith is back this week, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to lose none of them.
I agree with that.
I just feel like against that defense, it could be like Conley hits him on a 7-yard slant, and it could be a catch and run. You know?
Intriguing.
Maybe.
How many of them do they have every week in that Kansas City passing game?
Well, that was what I was going to say. Can't you say that about any week, about any receiver?
I'm saying you dig in super deep, but, you know, Carolina might not be able to tackle on a 4-yard slant.
Well, give me some help, friends. Bilal Powell. Give me two out of these three. Bilal Powell, Hunter Henry, Vernon Davis.
I'd probably leave Davis out of it.
Yeah. Tony?
You know, I was looking at my tight end rankings, and I have Vernon Davis at 31.
Mm.
But that's an interesting game because you look at it, they're not going to be able to run the ball there, so they're going to throw the ball. I have Bilal Powell actually as the highest guy there in this contest against the Rams. Of course, he catches the ball out of the backfield. I'm assuming this is a PPR league. So I think he's going to get three or four catches there. The Jets only have a team total of 21 in this one. And that's actually one of the lower team totals in the league. But in a PPR league, I'd go with Bilal Powell because the other guys might get shut out.
Yeah, I agree. And he's in the lineup right now along with Hunter Henry.
I think it's tough, man.
I mean, this could have been Allen Hurns, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
but he's hurt. This could have been Phil Dorsett, but he's on a bye and he sucks.
Yeah, for
Jermaine
sure.
Kearse, I'm not playing him, even though the game script could dictate to that. He's been another disappointing player in that Seattle offense. And then Derrick Henry is my guy that I was stashing.
Kearse has never been a good fantasy player. He makes timely catches. They don't show up enough on the stat sheet.
Guys, we went to break just a few moments ago. I apologize, Corey.
That's all good, though.
We went to break a few moments ago. We talked about all the good quarterbacks that were on bye, as you said, Corey, with Stafford and Luck and those guys in that vein here. And I think that with those quarterbacks on a bye, you need to look at the waiver wire. And unfortunately, this time of year, everyone doesn't own the Drew Breeses of the world, and a lot of people are rostering backup quarterbacks that went through their bye. They have a backup quarterback now. So unfortunately, the pickings out there are very, very slim. So I mentioned a few guys out there this week, and that includes tonight. Joe Flacco plays tonight against Cleveland. Trevor Siemian, he plays against New Orleans in New Orleans this week. We have Alex Smith with a fantastic matchup. People have looked to Carson Wentz as well. Guys, if you need a streaming quarterback this week, where do you lean? Scotty, let's start with you.
I think I got to lean towards Flacco. I mean, Cleveland has allowed 22 touchdown passes. That's an NFL high. Actually an AFC high. Atlanta's actually allowed the most. I feel like they can go to the air. When I did my lineup ranks on rotoexperts.com, I have Mike Wallace ranked in the top 12 this week.
Top 12, okay. Where's Steve Smith, if you don't mind me asking?
A little further down the list in the 30s. I feel like Wallace is the number one guy right now until Smith is maybe 100%. But even at this point of his career, I still feel like Wallace is the number one guy over Steve Smith.
Okay.
Not that Steve Smith won't be involved. I have trouble with Simeon because, yes, it's New Orleans, but I don't know if I can roll Simeon out there confidently in any matchup. Same thing with Alex Smith. Carson Wentz, you know, to Tony's points before, I can't do it. By deduction, I'm going Flacco.
I look at the situation where he's had two games this season over 20 fantasy points in a four-point per touchdown passing league. One against the Oakland Raiders and one against the Cleveland Browns. This week he gets the Cleveland Browns at home.
Yep.
It's difficult because the offensive line is pitiful. I think Joe Flacco is hurt. He has no confidence in the O-line. He's a shaky. He's a sitting duck. He's very shaky in the pocket. But I do think this is a situation he could take advantage of. Am I starting him tonight? I did pick him up in the spot last night. Am I starting him tonight? I would have to start him over Ben Roethlisberger, and I don't think that's the best idea.
I don't think it's the best idea either. I get it. Roethlisberger hurt, looked bad last week.
If Roethlisberger was on the road, I would have started Joe Flacco.
And I get it. He's a different quarterback on the road. However, I couldn't do that. Tony, where do you stand on here?
I have him as the fourth best quarterback that you pick up on the waiver wire. The number one, and this is depending on the league, sure. And number one for me would be Dak Prescott. I've actually got him right out to the top five quarterbacks against the Pittsburgh Steelers this week. Next up would be Andy Dalton against the New York Giants. The Giants do a good job stopping the run. I think Andy Dalton throws the ball over 35 times in this contest, and their team totals 23 in that one. And then I would drop down, and I would take Jay Cutler ahead of Joe Flacco. Jay Cutler's taking the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who have been absolutely atrocious in the secondary. They have a team total of 23. It's a great matchup for Alshon Jeffrey in this one. Jay Cutler, I would go, and then Joe Flacco would be next.
All right, so that actually helps me out here because I was going to go.
Cutler's an interesting play.
I was going to go with Trevor Siemian, but Tony convinced me. I'm going to go with Jay Cutler.
I can't go with Siemian at all.
Case Keenum.
I cannot do that now.
No.
No.
That's a nice matchup.
I'd rather go Cutler or Flacco.
I got Case Keenum at 25.
Yeah. See, sometimes you look at the matchup, but the player can't always take advantage of the matchup. I feel like that's where I am with Siemian for sure. I would not be surprised if Keenum has a good game, but I would also – here's the thing with Keenum. Is I would not be surprised if he threw three touchdowns and no interceptions, but at the same time, I would not be surprised if he threw – no touchdowns and three interceptions. I can't do it.
I'd be more surprised.
Rams and the Rams and the Cleveland Browns have the lowest team totals in the NFL this week. They're both at 18.5, and no other teams at less than 20.
Yeah, so I would be surprised if Case came through for three touchdowns and no interceptions. I would say
that's the Jets. So you know,
but that would surprise me.
All right, how about 2-0-0-2 just to make you happy?
I appreciate that. Thank you very much. Let's get to some headlines this week from around the NFL, and that starts with Spencer Ware because he has passed through the concussion protocol nicely here on a Wednesday for us, gentlemen. He returned to practice. He's going to play this week. Spencer Ware locked and loaded in the lineups. Tony, where does he stand in your ranks this week?
I got him right behind, the whole situation there. I think he's right outside the top 10. I'm a little hesitant to go with any of these Kansas City backs full throttle. He's probably better than that, and I probably have him ranked lower than he should be because I have guys like Lamar Miller against him, Jacksonville ahead of him. I have Matt Forte against the Rams defense ahead of him just because I'm just a little bit concerned about the workload that he'll get in this contest.
Alrighty, so I think he's going to be fine. I think concussion is one of those things that hopefully doesn't linger. He just comes out, plays his full percentage of snaps. So I like Spencer Ware here, guys, this week. So Spencer Ware returned to practice, and so did Doug Martin, finally. Martin returned to practice for Tampa Bay yesterday, and maybe is making this Week 10 prediction not looking so badly. Scotty, where do you have Doug Martin in your lineup ranks?
Tampa Bay Times said, though, it's still up in the air.
Yeah, absolutely.
Whether... you know, he's going to return or not. So, you know, right now he's like in the 30s because I just don't know what his availability is going to be in Peyton Barber. He can maybe get a split workload.
Okay.
He can be limited. We just don't know what the outlook is.
So you don't seem to – so if he's active this week, you don't like Doug Martin then?
It depends on what your other options are, obviously, but I think, you know, I would play cautious with him.
Interesting. Corey.
It's highly unlikely I would put Doug Martin in the lineup this week. First game back, we don't even know if he's going to be active yet. And even if he is active, he could see a limited workload. And you know how I feel about it. Just hand the football to Jameis Winston and let him do it.
Right, and you've been very clear with that. I'm kind of on the other side of this, guys. That Doug Martin's active this week, right? And he practices fully. Yeah. He practiced yesterday. Yeah. And he practiced every day this week. No setbacks. I'm going to have a hard time not playing him. There are a couple buys here this week. Mm-hmm. You got Frank Gore, for instance. You've been waiting on Doug Martin and waiting on Doug Martin. We went through this last week, how brutal it is out there. With waiver running backs.
Yeah.
So, to me, Doug Martin's active and he practices all week. They don't have any. I mean, they're going to split time with Doug Martin and Peyton Barber. I don't think they do that.
I see exactly where you're coming from. I'm about to say Dez. Well, I was about to call you Dez.
You can call me Dez. Pretty cool.
LeSean McCoy, Theo Riddick, yeah. Frank Gore, Latin Murray, all on bye this week. I'm talking about desperate times call for desperate measures, but I would not want to. I would not sleep like a baby if Doug Martin was in my lineup this week.
You say that you can't see them splitting the workload,
yeah.
But the coaching staff may feel a different way.
Well, certainly, yeah. Obviously. I'm just saying how I see
the
it.
The Bears, well, the other thing to throw in here, the Bears are very good against the run.
Yeah, absolutely.
In this matchup. So I think there's an opportunity to catch balls out of the back. Like, to Jameis Winston's point, I think it's a good opportunity in PPR leagues to catch balls out of the backfield in this one. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't rule out any of these Tampa backs by any stretch of the imagination, because I still think they'll score some points here. But not a great team to attack from the running game. So that and then the workload situations have me on Doug Martin a little down on the list.
Let me ask you fellas this. R. Kelly or Doug Martin, if Doug Martin is active?
I think it's a great question with Robert Kelly. with Robert Kelly facing Minnesota, splitting time with Matt Jones, I think it's a fantastic question.
I don't know if he's going to split time with Matt Jones. I think Kelly's the guy.
I think
I go
so
with
too.
The healthy guy, and yeah. I go with Kelly.
You go with Kelly?
Yeah. I think I
go
right now.
I think Scott. Right, I think Scott is right. You go with the healthy guy and go with Kelly.
What do you think, Tone?
The Vikings, actually, the last couple of games, they let up 96 yards rushing last game, 156 the game prior to that, 95 the game prior to that. So they're leaking against the run. I would actually use R. Kelly, and every time you say that, I laugh my ass off.
Yeah. And he feels like he has to go to the bathroom.
Well, he says R. Kelly, and at first I have no idea who the hell he's talking about. I remember, and I laugh.
The other running back issues here this week. Carlos Hyde still has not been cleared for practice. Now, he is practicing, but he hasn't been cleared for contact quite yet. Tony, we've been running out to Juan Harris, and it's been okay. You think Carlos Hyde plays this week?
I think he could play, but here's what I'd say. I'll play DeJuan Harris. If you own him and you have a running back speculation, like you're not walking around and you don't have Ezekiel Elliott and David Johnson on your team, and you've got someone down the list, I would go ahead and use DeJuan Harris. He's going to get an opportunity to play whether Hyde is in there or not. So I would use both these backs if they play in this week's contest, because I think there's going to be enough for him, and I don't think they're going to trot him out there and put him out there through that. I think there's a good shot he doesn't play.
I think there's a good shot he doesn't play either. This injury has obviously lingered in a major, major way. There's a legitimate chance that he doesn't play here, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So get DeJuan Harris in there.
Number one.
Yep.
And this is always the fascinating. I always like to look at the highest search players on RotoWorld to see what fantasy owners are thinking. He's the number one search player, so people are panicking like crazy.
Definitely. People are certainly worried about Carlos Hyde and this DeJuan Harris situation. One more guy before we get to the break here, guys. We'll get to your phone calls as well. Your guy, Scotty, Thomas Rawls, came back to practice yesterday. And they have been touting Week 11 as Thomas Rawls' return. And I've certainly questioned that because Thomas Rawls has been a little Easter bunny. Yeah, he's fine. I'll be back next week. He'll be back, not next week, but he'll be back soon, and it's not a big deal. It's not a big injury. And this has been a year for Thomas Rawls where this hasn't been a big deal. Whether it's the same injury or not, it's taken a while. However, Pete Carroll the last couple of weeks said Week 11 is where we're targeting. He practiced this week. Week 11 could be a legitimate target here for Thomas Rawls.
Here's the bigger story right now. Pete Carroll also told the media yesterday that Seaside ProSize is going to get even more work this week.
Major action this week.
Now, they were talking to offensive line coach Tom Cable, the Seattle Times, and he was saying that the offensive line has not been hitting their keys, and neither has Christian Michael. This is the reason why Michael is getting his touches scaled back. The Seahawks have the 30th ranked run offense. You saw
That's
them
pitiful.
Air it out. You saw them air it out this past week. CJ ProSize fits that mold. They said that he hit both of his keys last week. When they gave him the ball, they're saying they're not mentioning publicly who they're starting. This could be the week when C.J. Procise gets his chance to lead this backfield and see what he can do. Because early in the season, when Rawls was there, neither he nor Michael were standing out. This guy is versatile, they're more than both of them. C.J. Procise is going to be very interesting to watch. And if you are desperate for running back help this week in a PPR, I would not be against using him.
Would you rather start C.J. Procise or DeJuan Harris, Scott?
I'd start DeJuan Harris because I feel more comfortable in what workload he would get.
Okay.
But there are situations in which I can see using Procise. He's going to get his chance.
C.J. Procise or Doug Martin?
I also mentioned that they're going to try to take away Jimmy Graham, and you can put Malcolm Butler on Doug Baldwin, and that leaves things open for a guy like Procise. Right now, I would be starting Procise over Martin.
I think I have Procise in the lineup this week. Yes, I do. I have Procise in the lineup. I'll tell you, he's in my lineup as a flex. I'll tell you who's on the bench. He's in my lineup as a flex because I got three people on bye. So, yeah, so I have to use him. I have no other choice.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Matt Asiata or C.J. Procise?
C.J. Procise.
Asiata's in a good matchup this week against Washington.
I don't think that's so easy.
He's in a good matchup this week against Washington. I am not touching
any Minnesota Viking running backs. I don't care who they play.
Against Washington.
I don't care who
and
they
Matt
play.
And Matt Asiata has a nose for the goal line. If anything, he has a nose for the goal line.
I'm not using any Minnesota Viking running backs. What I say to our listening audience, there are two guys that are out there that may be on your free agent list this morning. Go now, whether you're listening live or on demand, and get C.J. Vidorich, because he's still available in too many leagues, and C.J. Procise. Get your C.J.'s today.
What do you think, Tone?
C.J. Spiller's out there as well, Tony.
I got that one.
C.J. Anderson, just in case you're wondering.
Those two I meant.
I got Matt Asiata, who had 8 fantasy points in the PPR league, and C.J. Procise with 10.
Okay.
I think he's right. He's going to be targeted in the passing game. But Asiata, here's the thing, is when you look at it from a fantasy perspective, who's more likely to get a shot at 6 points? That's the key, right?
Yep.
If they're that close and I have one guy at 8 points and one guy at 10 points, I would probably err on the side of the guy that could get in the end zone, and I would probably go Matt Asiata, even though I have the other guy ranked higher, because that 6 points is a difference maker.
In a PPR, I'm going Procise. In the standard, I'll go Asiata.
I agree. I think Tony put it right. If you're both around the same number, you want the better guy that's going to have the shot at the red zone. I think Asiata could just fall in, and that's why I'll leave Asiata.
I disagree with
that. That's fine. You're allowed to disagree.
I think Procise is the guy this week over Asiata to PPR.
All right. When we come back, we get more headlines, and we get your phone calls at 844-843-6879, 844-844-FNTSY. It's the Roto Experts in the Morning here on Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Returning here on the Roto Experts in the Morning, Greg Sussman, Scott Angle, Tony Cicada, Corey Parson, all hanging out with you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday Night Football comes your way tonight. Browns and the Ravens, we will preview that coming up at the top of the hour. Let's get to your phone calls, 844-843-6879, and we'll start with Irv in New Jersey. Good morning, Irv.
Good morning. What a lineup here with Sussmania, the fantasy executive, the king, and Tony C. Good morning, boys.
What's going on,
man?
What's the deal? What's up, boy?
Nothing much, man. I need a bye week quarterback and a bye week defense here. Hoping you boys could help me out. I'm either got Flacco or Cutler, and then on D, Rams or Texans. What do you guys like?
I have Cutler ranked 3 spots higher than Joe Flacco. Corey did a good job early in the show talking about the offensive line issues. Flacco is leading the league in completions. He's down at 4th right now and in passing attempts. So they could throw the ball. Cleveland's defense has been beat up. But Jay Cutler's got a guy this week that he's going to put together a big week, I think. And we see this from Jay Cutler every once in a while, the end of the year, just to give you a little hope. And then he ends up being Jay Cutler.
I like Cutler also. I give Cutler the slight nod. And then I like the fact that Cutler has the better weapon. And also he has the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who, you know, we just saw what the Falcons did to them.
Yeah, as far as your defensive question, I like both Houston and the Rams. This is a tough one for me because, you know, ultimately what you want to end up with is sacks and turnovers. I feel like Los Angeles is better for the sacks. But yeah, I feel like the Texans are slightly better for the turnovers. But knowing Ryan Fitzpatrick's propensity to throw interceptions at any time and the Jets off having some offensive line issues, I'm going to slightly lean in the direction of the Rams.
All right, thanks a lot, boys. Appreciate it. Great show.
Absolutely.
Thank you, my friend.
There you go. Gentlemen, we have a question on Twitter. Who do you like better in a, obviously, bye weeks affecting here? Tajay Sharp or Brandon LaFell, Scott?
Ooh, I would not use Tajay Sharp. I'd easily Brandon LaFell for me. Easy, and Tony Brandon pointed LaFell. Out.
Yeah.
I think it was Tony maybe pointed out yesterday, or it was Jake. On one of the shows about how the Giants have trouble with number two wide receivers.
Yeah, I think Brandon LaFell also does it. I think that's an obvious one.
Yeah, Tajay Sharp's not rosterable.
I'm with you. Okay, so speaking of some wide receiver injuries, Travis Benjamin didn't practice yesterday. Tyrell Williams didn't, but this has kind of been Williams' plan for most of the year.
Right.
We're sitting out Wednesdays, we'll heal. But Travis Benjamin did not play in the second half for San Diego last week, battling that PCL injury. San Diego is a bye next week. I'm going to assume Travis Benjamin's not playing this week.
No reason to put him out there this week. Let him get healthy as possible, not to mention the fact I think the reports are that he's more on the doubtful side of questionable.
Agree.
So I think Travis Benjamin sits out this week, which makes Dontrell Inman and Tyrell Williams and Hunter Henry good plays.
And that's kind of where I look to here with Dontrell Inman. Now, as the three of you guys know, I picked up Dontrell Inman pretty much everywhere last week, and I didn't start him anywhere. And he got me 8 points in a half-point PBR, so over 10 in a football PBR,
yeah,
which is really all I could ask for.
I love to see that. That 11 points, that 11 points was excellent in my flex last week.
And I would have won. If I would have started Dontrell Inman, I would have won last week.
How come you didn't, like, we didn't do a little powwow and hash it out between the four?
So we did actually. And
oh,
we
lied to you?
No.
Oh.
You all said start Dontrell Inman.
Yeah.
And I had Dontrell Inman in there. And then the last moment, I felt very good about Jerick McKinnon.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that was a mistake.
Listen to your friends, Greg. That's what we're here for.
Yeah, I feel good about Jerick McKinnon.
Yeah, I made a mistake. Unfortunately, I lost that week. So now I'm telling myself I got to play Dontrell Inman. So let me ask you this, friends, because I need help this week. I'm going to start with you, Corey, because you're my best friend.
Yeah.
Dontrell Inman or Cole Beasley?
That's a good call right there.
I know what I'm thinking.
This is Dallas, Pittsburgh. I like the Cowboys running the football, but Cole Beasley gets a lot of targets. But I got a feeling that one of those Dez Bryant games is coming. I'm going to give the nod to Dontrell Inman.
I'm going to go Cole Beasley. He's dependable. He's a favorite target of Dallas quarterbacks, Dak Prescott. Big game for them. I think he depends on him. He's almost like a miniature Julian Edelman at this point.
Wow.
The way he runs routes underneath and just squirrels under the defense. He's got such great route running.
Squirrel.
Yeah, he's like a little squirrel on that field.
Why you compare him to Julian Edelman?
Because they both are nifty route runners.
Okay.
Not because of the obvious joking sort of reference. They remind me of each other the way they run routes and kind of squiggle under the defense.
Yeah.
If I think about it, I could probably find other similar wide receivers, you know, within that vein who would just PPR guys.
Wes Welker?
You know, Marquise Lee could be one, but he's not the same style. I don't compare Wes Welker to him because I feel like Wes Welker was more, you know, maybe a little bit more of an outside seam sort of guy.
Yeah.
So I'm just talking the way they run routes. You're trying to pigeonhole me as a doctor. I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going that route. You know,
there's not an easy answer to this question. Here's the answer for me. Cole Beasley's
trust
the guy.
Him. Okay.
But if Travis Benjamin don't play, then you got to go Dontrell Inman. They more targets to assume there in a game where their total is almost 27 against the Miami Dolphins. If Inman was the guy that was starting and going to be on a majority of the snaps, I would go him just because of the volume in that contest over Cole Beasley.
Grace, this is a very tough matchup for me then. That does not...
With PPR, record? I go Beasley. If it's standard,
I go 5-4.
5-4. So you kind of need a win, playoff positioning.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's a big call. This is a big call. I think you go Dontrell Inman.
Scott.
Yeah.
Scott. I don't understand how your analysis is so simple there. Don't you think that the Travis Benjamin thing is the huge like that to me is the determining factor here?
Yeah, I don't think it's that simple. I don't think I do anything ever that simple. But I will say I just feel like, you know, Inman's sort of a big play guy from a scouting perspective. I like what I've seen from Beasley. I trust him a little bit more.
Guys, I could start both of them, bench Steve Smith tonight.
I would probably do that.
I'm not starting Steve Smith. Out of no way over.
Greg, you should have told us that first, Greg.
Well, I like Steve Smith.
Wouldn't have changed my decision. He's my
You like Steve Smith?
Yeah.
Personally? You know what I'm saying?
He's like a nice guy.
No, Greg.
He's not a nice guy.
And you're right, he's not. I think you put Steve Smith on the bench, Greg.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Who was the guy that he beat up that year?
He beat a lot of players.
He put somebody... on his own team. He was suspended for the first game of the season. Steve Smith at number 31, and I actually have him ahead of both those players.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you, Tony.
In this week's ranking.
Exactly.
Okay. I was wrong on that one.
All right.
I still don't trust Steve Smith's injury.
Cole Beasley. I have a lot
of Cleveland Browns. The Cleveland Browns are the worst in the league defensively.
That's true.
I'm not saying I don't like Steve Smith. To Tony's point, 22 touchdown passes allowed, most in the AFC, but I have so much trust for Cole Beasley in what's a really important game for the Cowboys.
I'm going to start Steve Smith.
They're all important, Scott. They're all important.
I'm going to start Steve Smith tonight, guys.
Corey's the one who said, this is Dak Prescott's biggest start.
I worry about injuries with Steve Smith, Tone.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy? You should worry about him. The guy's old, right? He came back from an injury on Sunday. He has to play on Thursday's contest. But somehow this is the only week he's not on the injury list.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
You know, I can look up for the other guys. But when we go over tonight's game, I have statistical projections from our friends at AccuScore. They are predicting tonight 5 catches for 71 yards. For Steve Smith.
I'm going to write that down.
That's great. Yeah. That's excellent. Fantastic.
I'm going to write that down.
Let me get the Beasley projection, and we're going to talk about that tomorrow.
Because if they miss, you know what I'm saying?
You give me 5 or 71 from Steve Smith, I'm thrilled. That's fantastic.
Yeah, that's 12 PPR points.
That's awesome.
Why wouldn't you like that?
Exactly.
Yeah. These are all pretty good plays.
I can also bench R. Kelly. I have R. Kelly in my starting lineup.
I would leave Kells in the lineup this week.
All right. So that kind of affect me.
I have Cole Beasley. Wow, they only have him for 2 for 31.
Cole Beasley, your boy.
They run the statistical models for these games like several times, you know, like many, many times.
Mm. Okay.
I'm trying to find Dontrell Inman.
I don't need a lineup optimizer. It's all in my brain.
All in your brain, huh?
I think it's interesting stuff, though.
Corey, you said you were picking up Michael Floyd if you had the opportunity.
Yeah.
So you lost out a couple bucks last night on Michael Floyd. Everyone last week, before the bye weeks, picked up J.J. Nelson. That was one of the guys everyone loved.
Yeah.
This week, for Arizona, would you play J.J. Nelson?
I think you see what the situation is. I can't trust. I don't like the Arizona Cardinals. The only thing I like about the Arizona Cardinals is David Johnson. I don't play nobody else. David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, the rest of them, I'm very uncomfortable with, so I don't like J.J. Nelson.
We'll talk more about the projections. We'll talk more about Thursday Night Football coming up next here on the Roto Experts.